Hello and welcome to this episode of The Perceptive Photographer, our 173rd episode. I'm your host, Daniel Gregory. I hope you're having a great week. Hope you're getting a chance to get out there and really work the camera and make some cool images and get a chance to really celebrate the amazing gift that photography is for everyone. Also, I want to say thanks for listening to the podcast. I really do appreciate you doing that. If you want to help others find the podcast, if you think it's worth listening to, you could always give us a review up on iTunes or go ahead and share a little social media love. We'd appreciate that and help people find the podcast. I know I love doing it and I appreciate you listening. So if you've got friends who you think might benefit, I would love to somehow connect with them as well. Also, if there's anything you want to hear talked about on the podcast, you can feel free to email me via info@danieljgregory.com and I'd go ahead and get into my inbox. I don't always respond to everything that comes into the info thing, but if you give me a podcast topic of interest, I'd be happy to talk about that. This week, I wanted to talk about something that I hear over and over again when we're thinking about photography and when we're learning about photography, and that's the notion of getting it right in camera. And I wanted to talk about that because I think it's an interesting point that we try to make, particularly if we're teaching people or if we're learning that we hear the importance of getting it right in camera. And there's all this ability to recreate and change and manipulate an image after it's captured in the darkroom, analog or digital, that really makes it interesting to think about what getting it right in the camera actually means. When we're thinking about digital files, one of the things that happens is we talk about capturing a raw file, which is the actual just raw data that comes off of the camera sensor. And because it's just raw data, we don't have an ascribed color space. We don't have an ascribed white point. We've got a lot of options there to manipulate that. But yet in camera, we have options for setting things like white balance. We can set up a default camera profile to actually process. There's a lot of little options we have in terms of processing the raw file. And because those things are infinitely flexible, which is great, it means that if we don't get it right in camera, I can always fix it after the fact. But yet there are other things about making images that we think about, oh, I can just fix those after the fact as well. You could be shooting with some lights and maybe you don't get the light reflection quite right and you think, oh, I'll just fix that in Photoshop. Or you're taking an image and you're even going to be in the analog darkroom and you just say, oh, I'm just going to dodge and burn that down a little bit rather than actually using my filters or changing my film speed or whatever you're going to do. The point is that getting it right in camera is more than just the time savings, because that's the big thing you hear about why you get it right in camera, is it'll save you time in post-production. And if you're a wedding photographer or you're a commercial photographer or you're a high-volume editorial photographer, you may end up with hundreds of images you potentially could edit. So yes, it's a massive time saver. But I think more important than that, there's something about the mindset of getting it right in camera, and that's what I wanted to really talk about. Because yes, RAW gives us all this flexibility. Nothing is actually baked in. But if we go out and we take our camera, and we go out and we take shots, and we think about what it means to get it right in camera, that's really more of a philosophical question than it is a technical question in my world. And the reason for that is the time saving is not the biggest deal. The ability to create whatever I want in post-production is not the biggest deal. What I'm trying to get to in my own work and in my own process when I'm working with others is to get in a mindset of being able to see. Being able to see what's actually out there in the real world. Being able to see what colors are, what shapes are, what composition is, what geometry is, what form is. That is the real challenge of photography, is getting your eye to be able to see all of that. Once you start to see it, it becomes habit. It becomes easy to do. When you talk to photographers who've shot for decades, and you ask them, well, how did you see that? They're like, well, how did you not see that? That just becomes their sense of seeing. That's where style, vision, all those things come into play and become secondary, is once we get in those habits. But we have to get to those habits. So even if I'm working and I'm experimenting, I'm going out and I'm not even sure what I'm going to do with the camera to that day. I've got some new project. I'm just thinking about trying something different. I'm still going to try to get things right in camera. I want to spend the time to try to make sure that I'm thinking about the project in the right way. That happens even before the camera gets picked up. Have I given myself some time to even kind of process what I'm doing or where I'm going or even a direction to start in? Now, that doesn't mean I have a planned shot list, but I at least give myself some kind of conceptual nature or some kind of conceptual notion of what I'm attempting to do and how I'm attempting to go about doing that. I think also I like to think about what is the actual sense of seeing. That is a huge part of getting it right in camera. Am I seeing ahead of time, before I push the shutter, those interesting moments? When you're working on street photography, it's that ability to take the photograph where you don't inadvertently chop off somebody's face on the side of the frame, or you make sure that the foreground and the background come into play. If you're doing a portrait, it's seeing the way the light hits the face and there aren't stray hairs or there's not a distraction within the frame. Maybe it's making sure you get the right gesture. It's the right moment of touch between two individuals if you're doing couples portraiture. In the landscape, it might be the positioning of the imagery of the objects in the image so that you know at that given point, you're able to get a sense of geometry that makes the lines of the photograph work in a more interesting way. It's all of those elements that are coming into play that really allow us to experience getting it right behind camera. So seeing is a huge part of that. Also, if you think about going out there, one of the things you can do, particularly if you're shooting digital, is you have the ability to, like I said, manipulate a lot of that stuff after the fact if you're shooting a raw file. But let's take color temperature as one of those discussions. If I'm on a cloudy day, I'm naturally going to want to warm up the image because it's going to be inadvertently cold because of the lighting conditions. In the old film days, I would have put a filter in front of the camera to help warm it up. But in post-production, I can easily go in and make that edit in 2 seconds. But one of the things that happens if you start to get things right in camera and you start to think about getting things right in camera and you think to yourself, it's an overcast day, meaning the light's cooler, the light's colder. So if I put in a cloudy day white balance, that's going to warm up my images. It's going to put in more yellow. It's going to warm that image up a little bit. It's going to offset the effect of the clouds. It'll give me more natural looking skin tones. What happens with that is we all have the habit of chimping at the back of the camera. We look at the back of the camera. And if what we're seeing on the back of the camera is a more accurate reflection of what's in front of us, that might help us in the sense of seeing because we're not distracted by, I've got to fix that and see what else potentially could be wrong with the composition. The other thing that setting your white balance does is it allows you to start to see color temperatures. You start to see a color cast. You start to think about how to deal with a color cast. It is that process of learning to see. Anything that can help you see better as a photographer and understand light, color, form, and function better is something worth pursuing. So that's the big thing about learning how to set your camera up. And that's the big thing about when you're working with something that even when you have infinite flexibility, going in with some level of intention to doing things right the first time. It is hard to see color cast. It is hard to see lines of geometry. It is hard to see all those compositional elements while you're learning them. But the only way we get better at them is to exercise those skills, to exercise those muscles, to build muscle memory, so that when you step out into a room, you know what setting to change on your camera, so that when you get it back into the dark room, you know the settings are going to be helping you create a better image. And yes, it may be faster to edit, but more important than that is you're starting to get a sense of experience in the world as a photographer sees it. Even if you don't make the change, even if you leave everything on auto, spending the few minutes it takes to actually assess a situation, to see a situation, to make those decisions is going to make you a better photographer. A little bit of patience in figuring out how geometry works, how the lines work, how those things come together. That's critical. And when you study great photographs, and I don't mean great photographers, I mean great photographs. So anywhere you find a great photograph where it really resonates, there's a balance of things that come together to make the photograph interesting. Light, color, composition, all of those elements. Getting to see that, getting to feel that when you're out in the field, that's what's critical. That's what's important. So getting it right in camera and the technical aspect of getting it right in camera is really about helping you to see and experience that in the field. Because what if you see it and the camera doesn't give you back what you want? That probably happens more times than not. But if you understand what light does and what color does and how you can manipulate those, maybe you can get that closer. So that when you come back and you're in the dark room and you're looking, you say, wow, that is closer to how my memory worked. That is closer to how I felt and saw and experienced that. Or if it's off, do you remember that color? Do you remember that temperature? Do you remember that composition? How many times have you taken a photograph where you said to yourself, wow, I didn't even see that pole behind the person. Or I didn't even see that big white dumpster over there. That's from a lack of seeing. That's what getting it right in camera is all about. It's about teaching us to see those things before we push the shutter. And fortunately, there's some little things we can do. Like I said, getting your white balance right, getting your exposure right, getting your focal length right. Oh, I'm not going to crop this. I'm going to try to get it right in camera. It's not about not ever cropping. It's about trying to get yourself in a position to create the frame such that you're in control of all those elements. I make photographs knowing that I'm going to have to crop. I can't get around the fact that I'm going to have to crop. But if I don't have to and I can get myself in a position to not have to crop, I know that I've done more to see the scene, to experience the scene than I would have by taking an easier route out. Getting it right is about getting yourself right, getting your headspace right to making amazing photographs. The technology that we describe it with is trying to make things easy for editing. But like I said, I think if what you do is spend the time to get it right in camera, you're going to find that you're getting it right on a psychological and a spiritual and an emotional side to your work that's going to resonate more than just trying to fix it all in post. So I hope I'm giving you something to think about this week. I hope you go out and actually try maybe this time this week. You want to get a simple exercise? Just get your camera off auto. Figure out, look at color temperatures. If it's a cloudy day, just try the cloudy white balance. See what that even does. There are so many people who never even try that. You'll find you're that much closer on the image. Or if you're indoors, start to look at the quality of light. Is it warm or cold? If you're composing and you're looking at lines and geometry, really try to pay attention. Sometimes all it takes is a slight step left or right to make all that difference in the world, but you got to start to notice those things. So spend some time this week trying to get it right in camera. If you really want to get aggressive with it, a great exercise to do is to give yourself 30 frames, 40 frames, where whatever you photograph and whatever settings you have on the camera, you're going to print, and you're going to print 16 by 20. So you got to make sure you nail that exposure, you nail that composition, and come in and see what you get. I'm not suggesting that you waste the money to necessarily do that, but go on with that mindset that these are going to be big prints, a lot of money is going to be spent, and you don't get to do much editing on them. See if that makes a difference in the work. I hope you have a great week behind the camera. You can always find us up on iTunes, Google Play, any place podcasts are found. Have a great week, and I'll see you next time.